this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And wow, am I so incredibly blessed and excited to have Kathleen Beckman, who just recently wrote a book, A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare, here in the studio. Welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Thank you, Deacon. I'm so happy to be with you.
I have to say to everyone who is listening, this is one of the most important shows I've ever done. In fact, it's so important that we're going to do two parts. So this is going to be part one, Strategies for Deliverance and Healing is part one. And bottom line is this, is a must read. Right now, those of us who have been involved in ministry for seemingly countless number of years, I think many of us feel that this is needed now more than ever, education, knowledge, and application regarding spiritual warfare. Your thoughts on that, Kathleen?
Oh, I absolutely confirm what you're saying. One of the exorcists that was a professor at when I was a student in Rome said, if you are ignorant on this subject, you will become a victim. And what we are called to be by virtue of our baptism and discipleship is to be proclaiming the victory of Christ. So we are always victors, not victims.
And we don't realize sometimes, I talk about this, that when we're baptized to be priest, prophet, and king. We're baptized to be warriors, and we're confirmed to be warriors. And that's who you are. You're a Catholic evangelist. You're a best-selling author, writer, speaker, radio host, Ignatian retreat director. You're co-founder and president of Foundation of Prayer for Priests. You've done so many things on radio and TV and EWTN, Radio Maria, and so forth. We've had your own show. It's been amazing. But God is now using you in such a powerful way and for some time in the area of spiritual warfare. When were you first called in the area of spiritual warfare, and why is that so important?
It was about 20 years ago that I used to have a prayer meeting in my home with a rosary prayer group with lay people and priests. And one of the priests in the prayer group that would meet every Friday at my home had a situation at his rectory, which was outside of my diocese, but a woman had knocked on the rectory door and asked the priest for prayer, and he welcomed her into the vestibule of the rectory, and she and me began to pray for her, and she began to manifest evil spirits. Mm. So by that, for the listeners that may not know, she began to have some very strange bodily contortions. The eyes would roll back, her tone of voice changed, and some pretty evil things were coming out of her mouth. So the priest realized that it wouldn't be prudent for him to pray over this woman without help. So he called for more priests, and more priests witnessed the manifestations of evil spirits present to this lady. And they decided that because this was a woman who obviously had some demonic oppression, that it wouldn't be prudent for them to continue to do the ministry. And you think of that, that's very wise on their part, because a woman like that can say, or whether it's a man or a woman, could say anything against the priests, and they would be very vulnerable. So they made an appointment for her to return, calmed her down, and she left. And then I got a call that said, could you come? And they invited a few lay people, some men and some women, to pray with us for this woman when she returns. And that's how it began, Deacon. The priests continued to invite me to assist them whenever they were doing deliverance ministry. And that's how it began. And then it developed. Obviously, the Lord had a plan, because shortly thereafter, I was invited to the faculty of the Pope Leo XIII Institute, which is the institute which trains priests who have been mandated by their bishop to be the diocesan exorcist. I was asked to be on faculty in the capacity of being a case study facilitator. So what that means is there would be a group of about a dozen priest students there, and I would read the case scenario. And that's what I write about in the book. Because, you know, when you go to law school, when you go to medical school, they teach by case study, right? You look at each case and, okay, how are you going to solve the mystery of this case? Well, the same thing is in exorcism ministry. The priest is looking at the situation and how are you going to solve the mystery of this demonic oppression? And so we would work all together as a team to try to solve each particular case to bring healing of the entire person. So I did that for 6 or 7 years and was very much benefiting by all of the teachings of the professors at the Institute and by that work, and obviously seeing a lot of the case studies.
And you've been involved in deliverance ministry now for how many years?
About 15 years.
About 15 years and taking a leadership role here in the Diocese of Orange. So many people are not aware. They don't even know what deliverance ministry means. What is deliverance ministry?
I would say deliverance ministry is really the ministry of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, but bringing about the fullness of healing in a person. We all have these fiery darts of the enemy coming from the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And, you know, it's hard for us because of, as you know, Deacon, the original sin, as Father Benedict Groeschel used to call it, the original wound that we have. Many of us have been hurt, traumatized, not loved as we should be loved, and therefore...
Is that true?
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's really good to hear.
I thought
it was me for a second.
So these wounds that are there need to be healed. I'll confide that, you know, when my father-in-law was murdered, I was deeply wounded. And I remember in adoration one day when the Lord just inside my heart said, take care to heal your wound, Kathleen, so that you don't impose it upon my body, the church. And that really, I think, is what deliverance ministry is.
One of the most important things is to remember that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, that you may be set free, free of your bondage. And this is so critical. I've come to give you life and life abundantly, John 10:10. What does that mean? It means to be freed from your addictions, freed from the devil's onslaught, and to live a life of virtue, a life without sin. My brothers and sisters, I've been doing well over 300 radio shows and various radio stations on Catholic radio. I have never advocated a book as much as I'm advocating this book. This is must read for every family, a family guide to spiritual warfare by Kathleen Beckman, Sophia Press. So absolutely critical. And let me give you an example of why it's so critical. We're starting on page one, the battle for the soul of the family. Families are the domestic church where Jesus grows. He grows in the love of spouses. He grows in the lives of children. That is why the enemy so often attacks the family. The devil does not want the family. He tries to destroy it to make sure there's no love there. This entire chapter is so absolutely critical, and you use examples from St. John Bosco, the mission of St. Michael, so many different examples in here, and you just, for me, it just like hit me right between the eyes right away. About, yeah, this is exactly what's happening.
Absolutely. And I wanted to set the tone in that first chapter that to lay the case out that there is a battle for the soul of the family. So we know that many of our Catholic brothers and sisters are aware of it, but also there are many who are not. And not to the degree, you know, in the book, I talk about how the church was so concerned by the way of the family, by the way of marriages and the way of the family that they held a few years ago. They held a synod, a bishop synod in Rome on the family and looked at the challenges for modern family. So, you know, looking at the attacks against the family from our culture, relativism, and the way that they are trying to redescribe or reinvent God's image of marriage. abortion and contraception and all of these things that are not in communion with the teachings of the church. So we have that. Then we have our own flesh. And, you know, I know my flesh is weak, and I know I have to battle against the seven capital sins each and every single day. And then we have the fiery darts of the enemy, because as Pope Francis said, and I quote, he does not want the family. And he is very methodical. This really struck me when I was a student in Rome at the Association of International Exorcists course, how very methodical the evil spirits are to plot against breaking up a husband and a wife, breaking up the relationship between parents and their children, breaking up the relationship between siblings. And then we see the fruit of it. And you and I have talked with enough Catholics internationally. You know, I talk in the book about visiting 13 different countries and missionary work. You've done missionary work. And almost universally in all of those countries where I've been, people are heartbroken over, you know, having not spoken to a brother or sister for 30 years, having not spoken to a parent for that long. So I think that this is a time when I wanted to put in the book a real spotlight on what is happening in the domestic church. Look at our own Catholic home. There's a lot out there on spiritual warfare about individual need for healing and deliverance. There's a lot out there where they're doing ministry over people who come looking for the ministry. But in the book, I'm saying, watch what's happening in your own home, because that's where the enemy is really getting in.
My brothers and sisters, I have said I've been involved in ministry over 40 years. I started when I was five, by the way.
I have to throw that in. I believe it. Looking so good. I believe it.
People start doing the math, you know. But bottom line is that I've never seen a need more than today in my lifetime to understand discernment of spirits, to understand exactly what is happening as it relates to attack on marriages, attacks on the family, attacks on our very essence of who we are. And we have to be aware of the fact there is a battle for the soul of the family, but Jesus has won. But we have to know that we're in a war, and most people don't know that we're in a war.
Absolutely. We live in a very distracted world, and I would dare say, after visiting so many countries, that I would say America, because of our affluence, is really one of the most distracted compared to other countries. And we take our eye off of what's important sometimes, and we take for granted our families often. The family situation can be where a husband and wife are like two ships, you know, passing in the night, not sharing much time together. And the enemy is right there to exacerbate that, and they just grow apart. And we see that in the level of divorce that is out there, and the stories that you and I have heard so often. And children, you know, what are they doing in their room? You know, what are they doing? And I have a whole chapter, Unmasking Diabolical Disguises. And I've heard priests say, look, I was called to a Catholic home. You know, a 12-year-old girl and her girlfriend were on the internet, and they thought it was really cool. They'd pull up this site where they could conjure up a demon, and they did. They invited the demon right into their home. And as the exorcists teach, never is a demon invoked where he doesn't respond. He's not going to say, oh, no, thank you. If the demon is invoked, he's going to respond to that. And these girls invited the demons right into their home. Well, shortly thereafter, all kinds of evil spirits started manifesting throughout the home. And the parents had to call the priest. He had to do a mass and exorcise the home to get the demons out. And so these things are real. These are two 12-year-old girls playing on the internet. And that's why I kind of want to point parents to the direction of, look at what your children are doing on the internet.
This is real. This is absolutely critical. We're going to come right back to talk about who should be schooled in the art of spiritual warfare. Why is it so important? This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We are so blessed to have Kathleen Beckman here. We are so blessed to be talking about her book, A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare, on Sophia Press. And I'm remiss in the first segment not to do this, so I don't want to miss it in the second. How do we get this book? Because everyone has to have it.
Oh, I would invite you to support the Catholic publisher and Catholic bookstores, SophiaInstitutePress.com. Also, I want to share with the listeners that with Sophia, if you go directly to the publisher, that they will, if orders over 10 books, they will give you 30% discount. And then if you buy a case, and there's a case of 28 in there, they give you 50% discount. So if you're in a parish or you have a prayer group, if you go directly to Sophia, you can negotiate big discounts for bulk pricing.
I can't begin to say how important this book is. Again, I've been involved in ministry, been involved in deliverance ministry as it relates to deliverance and protection of families. I've never read a book that was more comprehensive in terms of understanding and giving us practical ways of defending the battle. And I'm going to say something to the men right now. This is a big deal for me. The men need to step up to the plate and be the head of the family. Step up to the plate. That doesn't mean that, again, if you look at the sixth chapter of Ephesians, it said we need to submit to one another. So it's not like, oh, I'm higher than you. But we need to play the role of a spiritual leader within our families, because we have been told over and over and over again that if the father goes to Mass and is involved spiritually, the children are more likely to go to Mass.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is imperative for the fathers to be the spiritual protector, not simply the provider. I think many men are quite good and focused on being providers for their family of material goods and temporal goods. And that's all wonderful and as it should be. But for proper order, God is a God of order. There is a real spiritual authority that's been granted to the father. And we are all in need, you know, for this healing that we need and for the protection, we need the father's blessing. And so the men in the family, the husband and the fathers are to be the ones through whom the father imparts his blessing. And I want to encourage men, and there's a big section in the book on this, on fathers, exercise your spiritual authority, be proactive. And many men who have read the book have said to me, I am using, because there's a whole chapter, about 30 pages of prayers. I'm using the prayers now every day proactively to defend my children and my wife and to give blessing. You know, in the scriptures, it talks about curse or blessing, you know, ill will or blessing. Blessings are incredibly powerful, and they're not relegated only to the ordained. The sacramentally, the father has this great capacity for blessing his wife, blessing his children, and should do that, you know, daily, in the morning, at night. Those blessings are real and very powerful, and they're to lead by example. And so there's a real call to arms for men in this book. I really point to Bishop Olmsted of Phoenix, Arizona, because he has done a great deal to call men to be spiritual soldiers, you know, in the world and for their families. So you're right on about that.
And it's so, so absolutely critical. I remember a case where a man and his wife, certainly, but a father came to me and said how the daughter, high school girl, about 17 years of age, totally, her total personality had changed. And to really cut to the chase, it turned out, you know, the Lord gave me this vision of her bedroom and how there was a tarot card in her dresser drawer. Mm. And so I said, look, there's something in the dresser drawer that's demonic. And she had actually gotten that, and her whole personality had changed. People don't realize that this is not playing. You know, people, maybe they grew up and they played Ouija boards. Maybe they think fortune telling is a, you know, is just this, oh, this fun thing. This is not a game. And we can bring spirits upon us when we're ignorant about what's happening.
Absolutely. And that is one reason I was motivated to share the stories in the book. The last appendix, don't miss the appendices. They're really good, I have to say.
Absolutely.
Many people have said, a lot of people read books and they don't go to the appendix. In this case, in the appendix, it's organized for prayers. And then the second appendix is are the case studies. And you'll read first person from different family accounts of how they got into trouble, and the demons were something that they had to deal with and how they got out of it. And now they are the ones saying, you know, don't do this, that, or the other thing, that things that you mentioned, the tarot cards, the Ouija boards and all of this. It isn't a game. You are very vulnerable. There's a real spiritual world out there. And I think what I try to stress in the book is something that one of the professors, an exorcist, Monsignor John Essif, stressed, and that's our spiritual radar needs to be up. He was giving a retreat for priests, and he walked in, Deacon, and he said to the men, "Fathers, if you are not aware that this room is filled with angels to overflowing, then your spiritual radar is not working well." And I think that calls all of us to the reality of, how is our spiritual radar? Are we aware of things seen and unseen? You know, the spiritual world, the presence of the angels, and I really encourage in the book, you know, to be aware of the presence of the angelic help. Yes, we have 1/3 fallen angels, and they are always trying to oppress us, but we have 2/3 good angels, and those angels are always there to help us, to prevent us from falling into sin, and also to help us when we do fall in, say, yes, we have gotten involved with New Age spirituality. We've gotten involved with the occult, and now we want out, because in the end, you know, any promise for good or gain is going to end up with demonic torment in the end. And you're going to want out. And that's when they turn to the Catholic Church, and often they turn to the priest, and that is proper, but there's so much within the family that can be done immediately to come against the demonic that is present in the home.
The ignorance of, you know, I've said this to so many people over the last year, really. I mean, it's more than that, but especially over the last year, that the ignorance of understanding spiritual warfare, discernment of spirits, is so critical. You mentioned missionary trips, and as you know, many of my listeners may know, I've done 4 missionary trips, 3 to the Philippines, 1 in Indonesia, and in all cases involved in healing ministry. In my entire life has been healing ministry as it relates to the last 40 plus years. But so many, even the nuns over there, you know, God bless them, they're doing great work, were not aware of what was happening to their congregation. So I would come in, pray over them, and then all of a sudden people would start manifesting.
Yes.
Girls would start manifesting.
Yes.
A family. And one particular family in Indonesia, the woman, the young girl actually, she was about 15, was manifesting for hours and hours, because there was literally 4 hours worth of people waiting to see me, because, you know, they just don't see people
don't,
like
right,
me.
Right.
Like
before. No, I understand.
So they were waiting and waiting. So she had to go in the other room with the sisters, and they didn't know what to do. So I finally had gotten to her. As it turned out, her mother and father were there. And I asked them, I said, "Have you been involved with the occult?" And what do you think they said? Yes.
Yes.
They said, and I said, "Well, what do you have?" We went to their house, which was short, really close to them. They had potions. They had charms. They had everything you could possibly. They thought, and I said, "Well, why'd you get this?" Well, they told me it was good luck. They told me it would bring fortune. They told me it would bring health, and they told me economic help and money and so forth. The devil's a liar.
That's right. Absolutely. No, and you describe something that is really much more common than we can even imagine, you know? I mean, I talk about in the book, I give an example of my own situation about being a victim of a curse, Deacon, and how one of the portals that an exorcist gave in a teaching was that there are 5 portals. The first one is sin, then our wounds. If we believe that we are our wound, then we live in that wound, and then the demon can live in that wound too. So that's why healing of the wounds is so important. Inheritance, like if you've Freemasonry and curses that have gone down the line. Contracts, people that want to be in a contract for the, say, drug trafficking, sex trafficking, that kind of a thing. They make contracts with the evil spirit. So then that's the other portal. And the final is that the demon chooses us. Now, people are, how does that happen? Well, a little example is, you know, it was Christmas a couple, maybe 5 years ago, way before COVID, and I was doing last minute Christmas shopping at South Coast Plaza, and there were hundreds of people crowded into that mall. It was probably 2 days before Christmas. And I was approached by a very well-kept woman who came up to me and said, I have chosen you today. Mm. I've chosen you to receive a free palm reading. I'm a fortune teller, and I'm going to give you a free palm reading right here and right now. I mean, this stuff, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, who would have thought that here in Southern California, you know, I'm going to be approached by that? I mean, like that. It's everywhere. I mean, the subtle seductions to the blatant seductions of the enemy and the people that approach us who are really vessels of the New Age or the occult. We have to be very prudent.
I went to Utah to do a seminar, and I did actually a talk on spiritual warfare, and I talked about New Age charms and you know, all the different things of New Age and Sedona, you know, things from from places like that, and different places where people buy these stones, and with these stones, you know, are attached demonic influence and demons. And so this one guy came up to me and he said, that's my business. What do I do? I said, find a new business. Yeah. Can you believe
that? That's right. That's right.
Can you believe that? And, and so again, there is so much ignorance in this area, but buy this book, A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare, because it's a step by step process.
Yes. And you know what? I was very reluctant to make a book that was 300 pages because I know, like for myself, I'm much more inclined to buy and read a book that's half that size. So I tried to make it shorter and briefer, but honestly, I wanted it to be comprehensive. I don't like the approach of speaking about evil and the demonic and the oppression without giving the church's teaching on what to do about it. And so, you know, also I'm trying to convince people that this is real and it comes home right into our homes. And I say, I believe that our Catholic home should be demon-free zones. You know, they need to be clean. They need to be a refuge where when you come into the home out of the world, you are out of the world. You're in a home environment that is holy, that you're in holy ground, and you're going to treat one another, your spouse and your children, as the saints that they are in the making. And so with respect, and so cleanse your house of anything that is not good. You know, don't turn the other way when you think that your husband or wife, because women are really being involved in this in pornography. Don't pretend, if you suspect that your spouse is in pornography, trust the Holy Spirit prompting you. Bring these things to the light, right, Deacon? Don't try to shove it under if you think your kids are on drugs or you think your spouse is in pornography. Bring it all to the light and let God heal it.
My brothers and sisters, take a look at 2 Corinthians 3:16. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. It's so important that we be set free, set free. Jesus is the light of the world. And as we think about the Gospel of John, the very first chapter that's read on Christmas Day every single year for the Mass during the day on Christmas, Jesus tells us through John, in the prologue, chapter 1, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We must be aware that Jesus won. He's won. Right. He is the light. He is the light that's destroyed darkness. We're also really blessed to have the Blessed Mother who is interceding for us. We're going to come right back and talk about Fatima's lesson on spiritual warfare and the role of the Blessed Mother. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Recker. We're back on Powered by the Spirit. I can't begin to tell you how exciting it is to have Kathleen Beckman, the author of A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare. You have a website, correct?
Yes, KathleenBeckman.com.
Can you order the book off the website?
No, you'll just be linked right to my publisher. I don't
do any
shipping or purchases
so
through that website.
So being linked to the publisher is a great way, or bookstores, or however you want to do it. I think this is something that parishes, the entire parish should have. I'm a big proponent of Knights of Columbus. You know, I mean, I'm a spiritual director and so forth.
Mm.
And I am trying very hard In fact, we're working with the president of or some of the heads of Knights of Columbus, but also Catholic Men's Fellowship. In fact, he's one of the our people who come in here and give testimonies and so forth. We work closely with him and that organization, too. And I'm only saying that because I'm saying for you to buy this book in bulk. I want every family to have it, but I want men's organizations, women's organizations, Magnificat that you work with. And we need to learn Scripture. We need to learn the power of Scripture, like John 1, the prologue.
Yes, I was excited when you proclaimed John's prologue, because I wanted to share with your listeners that that is a Scripture that is often read during the major rite of exorcism. And when it's proclaimed, it is remarkable to see the reaction, the torment of the demons mm-hmm. that may be present in that person. The demons really react. That is like hitting them right where it hurts, because it goes right back to the very beginning of their rebellion. And, you know, the beginning was the Word, and the whole Word becoming incarnate is what they are rebelling against still. And so when the prologue of John is proclaimed during the rite of exorcism, it torments demons. And there are times when I have been oppressed spiritually from what I perceive to be evil spirits, and I will read that scripture aloud in my home. And who knew that the prologue to John's gospel would be such a deliverance prayer, right, Deacon?
Oh, it's amazing. And I just love the prologue to John's gospel in John chapter 1, and read it all the time because of the power behind it, the power of protection, the power of taking offensive against the enemy. And speaking of taking the offensive, you know, I grew up cradle Catholic. My mother, you know, went to church and so forth, but didn't really have a devotion to Blessed Mother. My grandmother prayed the rosary all the time, but I didn't really understand the Blessed Mother at all for many, many, many years. And early on in my 20s, when I got involved in the healing ministry, it could have been an angel, who knows, but, you know, this one man, young guy, comes up to me and he says, "Wherever there's healing, the Blessed Mother is there." And I started, and it was this one thing after another that led me to know that we have a spiritual mother who wants to defend us against evil. And I could give so many examples of actually that happening, and actually having, I've had people come to the prayer meeting when I was teaching on the Blessed Mother and actually get visibly upset, because I've talked about how the Blessed Mother steps on Satan, you know. And so tell us about the role with Fatima and the role of the Blessed Mother, and how you, that's also in the book and Mary's deliverance team I'm looking at here on page 40. Just tell us about the role of the Blessed Mother.
I want to say that, you know, often in Catholic piety, people put Our Lady on a pedestal, and she's like this porcelain, fragile being, you know, beautiful, but not to really be engaged in. But I want to share with the audience that what I have discovered from what I see during the rite of exorcism is she is one fierce, fierce warrior, and the demons absolutely cower in front of her, because God has chosen her to be the one, to be the vessel through whom the perpetual defeat of the enemy is developed and happens. And so the evil spirits are very much afraid of this warrior mother. And I've never seen anyone more fierce in defending each and every person. She truly, whether we have a devotion to Our Lady or not, she has a devotion to each one of God's children. She is their mother. I mean, it benefits us when it's a reciprocal devotion. It benefits us when we are devoted and we engage and we have a deep relationship and through virtue of our consecration to Our Lady. All of that is very real spiritual, dynamic protection. But even if you don't know her, she will come to your defense. And I want to share a story, and I have this in the book. This is from a real exorcism that I witnessed. It was outside of the diocese, because I've assisted with exorcists in many different states and countries. But in this situation, there was a young man who was consecrated to Satan in his mother's womb. And so his mother and father were practicing Satanists. They were very high up in that satanic realm. And from the womb, he was consecrated to Satan. And his whole life, as you can imagine, Deacon, was very troubled. But God's providence, this just amazed me. Providence would have it that this very troubled man, young man, his path crossed with a Catholic prayer group. And the Catholic prayer group were wise enough to pray with him and to say, I think you should go see the priest, the Catholic exorcist. And so there he was. And so the exorcism had already taken place. And the exorcist had called upon Mary. There'd been like 4 hours of a spiritual battle, very physical. So he called on Mary to come and finish, to step on the head of the serpent, to liberate this young man. Well, what happened was then he called it. The exorcist called the end of the exorcism. We were all just resting, and the person got into the fetal position on the floor and began weeping and weeping and weeping. And we just kind of all observed the team of 10 people and the exorcist. And so we saw him weep these tears and then stay in that fetal position. And then when his experience was over, the exorcist priest said, you know, what happened to you? And he said, well, I experienced my mother, and my mother came to me. She was deceased, Deacon. My mother came to me, and she begged me to forgive her, that she didn't know the harm she was doing to me when she consecrated me in her womb. And she begged forgiveness for what she had done to me. And so he was so touched. So he said, I saw my mother, and she wanted forgiveness, and I forgave her. I forgave her. As soon as I forgave her, I didn't see my mother anymore, but I saw the Blessed Virgin Mary. And Mary came, and she held me like a baby in her arms, and she just ministered to me. And Mary just, she set me free. And so I realized that the exorcist had just called on Mary to come and really set him free. And here was this beautiful example of a young man who'd been consecrated to Satan by his two Satanist parents. And look at how Mary intervened, obviously through God's grace, to help set this person free.
Amen, amen, amen. We're with Kathleen Beckman talking about a must-have book, A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare from Sophia Press. How common is this? It's all too common, unfortunately. I'll give you an example. I'm in the Diocese of Orange. I won't say what parish it was, praying for confirmation students, and was asked by a priest friend of both of us, anyway, to come and be with him and to do this and to give a teaching. So I'm praying over 100 kids, high school kids, you know, preparing for confirmation. All of a sudden, two start manifesting in a huge way. Well, there was a nun there who told me, oh, no, we know about them. They were offered up, consecrated to demonic demons at their birth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the culture that they're in and so forth. I guess the question I have for you is, if that happens, is it too late? I mean, is there any hope?
Oh, no, it's never too late. It's never too late. God made a provision for that, you know, and by his wounds we are healed. And so always there's so much healing that occurs. I'm often asked, well, what occurs during the rite of exorcism, major or minor? And what I say is, you know, people are expecting to hear about the sensational part of exorcism that you see in movies. But the most sensational thing that those of us who serve on the team would say is that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the praying church, because the priest is there, but the whole church, and this is a point I really give some teaching on in the book, that you may think, well, I'm not involved in healing and deliverance ministry, but by your discipleship, you're involved in healing and deliverance ministry. Yeah. It is not on the periphery of the church. It's the heart of the gospel. Yeah. And so even though you may not be on site, you know, like a team with the exorcist, that person in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you know, that little old lady praying her rosary before the Blessed Sacrament may be the one who actually gets the grace for this person to be absolutely freed. So it is something that, you know, we can't compartmentalize the church, you know, into, well, I'm in this little lane of the church. I'm in this little lane. We are one body. And so it's the whole church. And so when the priest prays, he's praying on the behalf of the bishop, on behalf of the whole see, on the universal church is the praying church is there. And the demons know it. The demons know it so well, and they would rather leave than be present to that kind of prayer power that is present there. So the works of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, the wonders of the Lord, the miracles of the Lord are much more sensational that we see than any antics of the evil spirits. I always say the evil spirits are bullies. They want a lot of attention, you know, but they're like bad bullies, and you want to kick them out and not give them any room to operate because they just want to sensationalize things. And you have that spiritual authority by virtue of your baptism, by virtue of the sacrament, the couples, by virtue of a matrimony, that sacrament, you have incredible prayer power for to protect one another and your children.
Remember, my brothers and sisters, use scripture. Greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. You know, take authority, as Kathleen mentioned, from your baptism, from confirmation. You receive the Holy Spirit. You are not defenseless, but often we act as if we're defenseless because we just don't understand that we have the authority. We have Jesus within us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Blessed Mother. I want to come back to the role of the Blessed Mother and the Rosary, because this is something that is so absolutely critical. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit. This is so important, my brothers and sisters. Deacon Steve Greco with Kathleen Beckman. This book, A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare, is a must-have. We must educate ourselves. This is not something that is optional. And we need to understand the role that we have with the Blessed Mother, with saints, and many, many tools. And this is a two-part series. We're going to get into the tools a lot more in the second part. But the Blessed Mother was really clear to us at Fatima and other locations, certainly, that she appeared in. But tell us about, because it's in the book here on page 40, about what happened at Fatima.
Well, I want to share with you, first of all, a little background about when Our Lady's apparitions there and how vital they are for formation in spiritual warfare. It's something that Cardinal Amato, one of the professors at the Association of International Exorcists course in Rome, mentioned. He gave a whole conference on the message of Fatima and how relevant it is, Deacon, in spiritual warfare and the lessons that it teaches us. And I think one of the most striking things that he reminds us of is that all of heaven and Our Lady entrusted the message to three small children. Okay. Now this speaks to the family. This is how it ties into A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare book, that it is necessary to form our children in the reality of heaven, hell, and purgatory. I mean, Our Lady came and heaven ordained that these little children would have a vision, a full vision of hell. And they saw how many souls were falling into hell. And they were so moved by this that they were inspired to give up things like they decided they wouldn't play anymore. Children play. That's what they do. They decided that they wouldn't play to save souls from falling into hell. Mm. They decided that they would save their life. Now, these were more in poor children. So they had meager means, and they would give their lunches to the poor. So they would sacrifice, they would fast. They took seriously the reality, the truth of what they had seen, and wanted to do anything to prevent this soul from falling into hell. And in the book, I quote an exorcist who said that Jacinta was one of the seers in Fatima who really caused a lot of souls to be stolen away from the devil and taken to heaven, because they said she was very bold and serious in accepting the call to prayer, to fasting, to praying the rosary. Whatever the message of Our Lady of Fatima was, she took it to heart, and thereby the demon proclaimed during an exorcism, I mean, much to his consternation, that souls were robbed from him because little Jacinta was so powerful in her spiritual offering to God. So that really, I think, calls parents to what are you doing to form your children in the reality of spiritual warfare and the evil spirits?
We do so many things for our children. You know, and again, I think of Luke 11 because, you know, it's asking, you receive, seek, you'll find, knock, and the door will be open. But then it says, we who are wicked who know how to get good gifts to our children, and we do. How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit for those who ask for it? Are you asking for the Holy Spirit to come upon your children? Are you forming your children to understand all aspects of what we believe in as Catholics, but to understand what's happening to them in the world? It's so absolutely critical that we take this as the highest authority, highest priority we possibly can, and just not be, oh, well, I got to get them in the best colleges, I got to get the best education, I got to make sure their jobs are the best and everything else. That's important, don't get me wrong, but our life is but a vapor that appears briefly and disappears. We have to prepare them for all of eternity.
That's absolutely right. And when I was doing research for the book, I just want to share with your listeners this one entry in Faustina's diary that I've read the diary, but it never struck me before. It goes along with the call for children and to protect them and to save them. St. Faustina writes in her revelation, I suddenly saw a crowd of children who seemed to be no older than 5 to 11 years of age. When they saw me, they surrounded me and began to cry out, defend us from evil. And they led me into the chapel, which is in this convent. When I entered the chapel, I saw the distressful Lord Jesus. He looked at me graciously, and he said he was gravely offended by children. He said to St. Faustina, you are to defend them from evil. Faustina said, from that moment on, I've been praying for children, but I feel that prayer alone is not enough. And then she goes on to say how she made sacrifices and fasting. And that's a message for all of us. These are little children. You know, you think of what's happening in the world today, the culture where we are robbing the very innocence of our children, Deacon. And the sex education that is given to 2- and 3-year-olds. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, when we talk about how what we're doing to little children, we cannot pretend this is not happening. Mm-hmm. This is something we need to be well aware of. You know, I admit when my kids were in school, I don't know how you were, but I know I didn't necessarily go over all that was being taught to them. Now, they were in Catholic schools, but even in Catholic schools today, I would say it's very necessary that parents be very aware of their child's education.
And we have to educate ourselves.
Yes, that's true.
We have to educate ourselves and understand what is happening to our children, how they're being educated. You mentioned the internet, being on the computer. What is it that they're looking at? Very, very important. I want to talk about the rosary because I just have this. I have a St. Benedict rosary. So you may want to mention something about St. Benedict. But the power of the rosary, to pray a rosary each day for the family, and I pray a decade for every member of the family, pray 3 rosaries a day at least. Why is the rosary so important, especially to protect ourselves?
It is a real spiritual weapon, and it is so important because it's a scriptural prayer. It's a contemplative prayer. It's a prayer that has been given to the church. It is really, I find the rosary to be, and I even wrote a little booklet on this, the healing power of the rosary. It's very healing. I feel like I have personally experienced inner healing from praying the rosary, especially before the Blessed Sacrament. But the rosary is prayed during an exorcism. It's prayed during minor exorcisms or major exorcisms. And the demons are tormented by it. And in the book, I quote what the exorcists have heard from evil spirits about the torment. I know personally, I've been at several where I hear we may have the parents of a young person praying off site, and nobody's mentioned that to the group that's there with the exorcist, but then we will hear a demon yell out, "Stop, stop those beads, stop those beads. They're tormenting me, they're hitting me." Well, her parents are praying off site, and that rosary is what is affecting the evil spirit. So they're very much tormented by it. But I want to share, if you recall in the book, in the last chapter, I give the testimony. It's told through the person wrote me this testimony of her son had tried to commit suicide. Do you remember that story? And then she picked up the rosary.
Right.
Well, no, what happened was she was not Catholic. She wasn't Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And she was sitting in, so her son had shot himself in the head. And she was sitting in the hospital, and she was so, as you can imagine, as his mother, waiting to see if he was going to make it or not, okay? Life and death. She decided that she wanted to pray, but this is a non-Catholic, doesn't know anything about the rosary. And she Googled on the phone a healing prayer. And what popped up first was a healing rosary prayer that I had posted to the Catholic Exchange, because I write for Catholic Exchange. So through the prayer, she began to pray the prayer, and it was meditations on the rosary. So she said, you know, I just followed word by word everything that Kathleen had written in this healing rosary prayers for my son. In that situation, I had prayed it for my son 15 years earlier. In that, she learned, she said that she, who was a non-Catholic, learned the power of the rosary, felt the presence of Mother Mary. It became very personal for her and very, very powerful. She couldn't stop praying the rosary. She said she continued to pray continuous prayers using those meditations, which I give in the book. And then, lo and behold, her son made it. He survived even though he had shot himself in the head. So she gives a beautiful testimony on how, you know, getting into the spiritual warfare. What happened? Well, the son had been bullied, Deacon, by a schoolmate who had bullied and bullied and bullied him to the point that he shot himself. Mm-hmm. So the whole story is in the book. Now, she related it to what had happened with her marriage. She said, our whole family was under attack. And this is, she's telling this first person in the story, in the book. She says, my husband and I had gone through a very rough patch, and we had just gone through counseling and inner healing with a counselor. So she said that they had just reconciled, and that she felt that the evil spirit was so upset that their marriage was back together, that then the retaliation happened with the son. And then this bully came along. And his family left. As soon as that happened, they packed up and they left the city so nobody could pursue what he was doing to this boy who had tried to commit suicide.
My brothers and sisters, turn to your mother. You have a spiritual mother. Turn to the rosary. Pray the rosary each and every day for protection of your family, blessings of your family. So important. I'm so excited we're going to have you back for the second part in our next show. But any final thoughts that you have ending this first show?
I want to just echo what you said, to really turn to Our Lady. She has a maternal heart and a heart that is just a mirror of the Sacred Heart. And furthermore, consecrate yourself and your family to the Sacred and Immaculate Hearts, because that's a real spiritual protection. So I would just invite families to take a look at what's going on in your own home and really look with the eyes of the Holy Spirit at what is occurring there, and realize that God has chosen you and your family. And in choosing you, he has equipped you to be a victor, not a victim.
Thank you so much, Kathleen, for being on the show. I can't wait for our next show. Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, and worship you. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us this book, A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us the tools to defend our families in battle. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us the power of the Holy Spirit flowing within us, for giving us a spiritual mother to help intercede for us. We pray blessings and healing and protection on all families, to be covered with the precious blood of Jesus, to be protected against all evil and all sin, through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this is Deacon Steve Greco. We're so, so excited that you listen. Come back again next week to hear part two of A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare. Have a blessed week.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.